Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. While parts of the country continue to contend with heavy rains and the risk of floods, are we any closer to understanding the response and governance gaps that may have exacerbated this crisis? Let's speak first on the show to Selangor State Exco member V. Ganapathy Rao. He's also the Kota Kemuning Assembly person. Taman Sri Muda, which was one of the worst hit flood areas in Shah Alam, comes under his constituency. Gana, good evening. It's been about two weeks now since Taman Sri Muda was inundated by flood waters, which, as we see, did not recede for days, and the damage has been quite severe. I'm just wondering if you can give us an update as to what the situation is now in Sri Muda.
Hi, good evening. I'm Gana here. Thank you for inviting me. Right now, definitely the water is resettled. The situation is now is more like people are getting back, washing their house, and then try to get back to the normal life. But again, I want to reinstate again, because many people keep on referring as Taman Sri Muda alone. Actually, in Kota Kemuning, Kampung Bukit Lanchong, which is 1,800 households, has been flooded too. And many people fail to mention that. And then Lanchong Jaya and also Taman Alam Indah, about 1,000 houses. Then Kampung Baru Haikom, about 2,500 houses. Taman Sri Muda alone, 9,000 houses. With then Desa Kemuning, Taman Mutiara, Taman Bunga Indah, Taman Ishwara, then Jalan Batu Bata, Jalan Bukit Kemuning, Taman Bukit Kemuning again. So it's all together, it can be reached to close to about 20,000 houses has been flooded in Dun Kota Kemuning alone. Right now, the water has been settled. But the problem is people are facing now is the clearing of the rubbish, and then because it's super slow. But anyway, from last week, it has been the authorities has been double up or even triple up the lorries and then the machineries now. The cleaning process is going aggressively, but still people are fearing of a health crisis if any getting late in clearing the rubbish. But the main
Gana, if I can just jump in there and ask you, you know, you're when you say 20,000 households, that's, you know, past more than 100,000 people affected. And this is just in one area in Selangor. Never mind the rest of Selangor and the other states of the Federation. But I want to ask you if you yourself have a clear sense of what went wrong. Yes, heavy rainfall, you know, is the source of a part of the problem. But what about the flood mitigation programs and infrastructure that already existed in that area? Did it fail to respond adequately? Did the people in charge fail to respond adequately?
You see, I'm a resident of Taman Sri Muda last 26 years. I'm already faced the first flood in 1995. I'm also a victim of 1995 flood. So we realized, you see, Taman Sri Muda is a lowland. That one we realized. But not about the big, I mean, whatever the 18th of December this year, the biggest massive floods happened. It's maybe we can refer to as a natural disaster because of a typhoon and then aboriginal rainfall. The one maybe we can say this so. But are we, what is my concern? If you realize that 2 months ago, I did raise up this issue very aggressively because every time rainfall, Taman Sri Muda will be flooded. You see, even 50 mm or more than that. Taman Sri Muda is a prone to flood issue because I'm frustrated with the authorities, the way they're handling the drainage system, irrigation system, especially right. The water flow system. So it is, we should shoulder the responsibility.
If I may just refer to that. So I think you were referring to the fact that last October, I mean, you made headlines with the fact that there was a video of you chastising the Department of Drainage and Irrigation officials for not replacing one of the faulty pumps, the water pumps, the faulty water pumps at the river located in Taman Sri Muda. And I'm just wondering, now that everything has happened, do you feel that that was the source of the problem? Do you feel vindicated for having raised that issue? Or do you feel even more aggrieved that nothing has happened since?
No, you see, the issue that I raised in October is that that every time, you know, in a year, two or three times or even four times, this will be Sri Muda flooded because of the high rainfall. I mean, even 50 mm or even more than that, we will be facing the flood at a knee level or at least, 1 feet level of rain. I mean, the flood is normal for us. So that is actually not normal. It is actually because of the failure of the GPS. That's the reasons that we are already highlighted since 2018-19. So in 2019, the government allocated a sum from the state budget, about 10 million, to the JPS to build a specific pump, which is approved everything. The project was delayed. For the reason that given was because of MCO and so on. They don't have certain approval, that which is really annoyed me and then frustrating. Then that's why there's reasons. Whenever I highlighted the issues such as the irrigation system, the drainage system, the water flow, I saw there is no proper answer from the authorities, especially JPS. MBSA, at least they respond to me and then they try to clean up the drainage, and within their boundaries, within their authorities, they try to accommodate with certain level. But JPS failed to recognize and so on. They keep on asking for new allocations, new projects and so on. But then, even when the state government allocated some fund, I mean, especially like a 10 million and so on, it has been given and the project has been awarded by the JPS and so on, but the projects never take off. But that project alone...
So, Donna, can you let's understand this? You're saying that it's not for lack of money. So there's political will on the part of at least the Selangor state government to resolve these issues. The money was put there and yet nothing moved. Why is it? Is the state government of Selangor powerless to make bureaucrats and civil servants do their job? Is that the problem?
Do civil servants not want to do their job? No, Mr. Sheikh. Must understand that because JPS is still federal authority. Even then, state government come up with the allocation. That is true. They has been appointed the contractor. They have the design, whatever the pump house has been done. But I want to say reinstate here that particular pump house or that particular pump is only going to solve the rainfall maximum more than 50 mm. But on 18 December, this one is about, I was informed it's a 400 mm. So it is something that extraordinary. That one, we must be notified the particular issue. What I'm here more interestingly to want to say is, because I believe there is a few articles has been going around in the on media online and so on. People say that authority knows that Sri Muda is submitting or even the water from the neighborhood of development, like 20 years back, so-called Emerald Estate, now entire housing development called as Kemuning Utama. When it's 20 years back, when it was developed, we cannot see any monsoon rain or even a proper retention pond for themselves.
Right.
All the waters has been flowed into Taman Sri Muda. Again, the development of a Kasas Highway. Yeah, I want to finish talking about the society. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Gana, do you think that anyone will be held responsible, held accountable for the consequences of the flood crisis? Or are we going to all collectively embrace this as a natural disaster?
What I can see is because of the massive floods and then because of the typhoon and then because they can be justifying saying that is a natural disaster. But what I'm trying to say here is, from very beginning of development of Taman Sri Muda, 40 years back, and then the surrounding development like Kemuning Utama or even other tamans nearby, even the development, the Kasas Highway development, if everything is inclusively taken into account, properly designed, the irrigation system, I mean, the drainage system and everything, the water flow and then retention pond and so on, maybe we could avoid such a massive floods. That is my point.
Okay.
So what, so Ghana, very quickly, what happens next? I mean, how do we get government or government agencies to respond?
You see,
do we have to, do citizens have to take them to court?
I'm not sure. I'm a lawyer by practicing. I mean, about 10 years already, I'm no more practicing as a practicing lawyer. But you must understand, again, because the government has been declared this is as a natural disaster. And then the typhoon is a real issue. But when we're referring to the government, which is when, I mean, we must go back to the as much as 40 years back from then, how it was Taman Sri Muda itself being developed. Whether the land is landfill according to the measurement at that time. And then how the surrounding developments, which is took, I mean, at least 20 years plus, which is has been developed, like 800 acreage of estate, what you call it is the Emerald Estate, but nobody now calling it Emerald Estate, beside only Tamil school exists. But it is called now Community Utama. So all this development nearby, the water flow design system in 20 years back. This is from my view, my observation as a Adun, as a resident, right, going around, looking around, with the getting feedback from the resident association down there, with the peoples down there. This is the view that I'm getting. And also the Kasas Highway, we can see that. I want to refer to the Kasas Highway because everybody is trying to, I mean, shying away when come back to this kind of big mega projects. That water flow also direct into residential area rather than it's supposed to be an own outlet to river. This is a failure of the authorities. Yeah.
Ghana, can I ask you about what happens next? So, and feedback that you're hearing from your constituencies. I'm wondering whether the cash aid that the government has offered, the 1,000 ringgit cash aid, has that been effective? Has that been dispersed? Are they receiving that money?
You see, in the cash aid, about 1,000, about 3 days back, in my dune, about 100 people in the first batch, they received the 1,000 plus with Natma 1,000. So each one get it 2,000. Then I think yesterday 1,500 people was called to a Klang Land Office to deliver the 1,500 people to deliver this cash aid. Today I never heard anything, but maybe tomorrow, maybe there will be the cash aid program is going on. Again, I don't want to use, talk about this alone, please. The authority must take serious. You see, these issues of digging up of Klang River or make it more so-called retention ponds, I've been highlighted since 2018 and 19 and 2020. Each year, without fail, I've highlighted these issues. So I want the authorities, even the state government or federal agencies, whatever agency, they must come up with a permanent solution for the Taman Sri Muda residents, not only Taman Sri Muda, the people, all the housing, residential properties down there is along the river of Klang River. They must have permanent solution.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Selangor State Exco member V. Ganapathy Rao there. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but back with more on this topic, so stay tuned. Hello, you're watching Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me is Sharad Kutin. If you've just joined us on the show tonight, we're discussing the response and governance gaps that may have exacerbated the recent floods. Now, we speak to Amira Aisha Abdul Aziz. She is the Secretary General of the Malaysian United Democratic Alliance, or better known as MUDA. Amira, Muda, Parti Muda was one of the many organizations that stepped in with flood relief efforts in the immediate aftermath of the disaster. I mean, Muda organized this very highly visible disaster response, which seemingly dwarfed the state agency's response. And I'm just wondering, since then, whether you have observed an improvement in the government's disaster response.
Right. I think one of the things, touching on, you know, how highly visible our response is, number one, I think it has to be understood that the money that we collected in order to respond to the flood, right, it's from the people. And we believe that when the money comes from the people, it's important for you to have full transparency, for the people to understand where has the money that they have, you know, they have donated, went to, and whether the money is being spent for the purpose of which they donated it to. And that's the reason why we made it so, you know, visible on Twitter, on all forms of social media. Now, during the whole mission, I think one of the things that was very clear to us in terms of the government response was that there wasn't a very quick, immediate response right after the flood happened. It seemed that, you know, there wasn't a total preparedness by the government to face this kind of flood. I mean, it is understood that the size of the flood is different from, you know, the years previously. But I think it's important for the government to prepare for these kind of things, especially when, you know, the government has spent more than, you know, billion of ringgit in terms of flood mitigation and preparedness. One of the things that was, I think, very obvious to us was when we went to, when our team went to Sri Muda and we tried to, you know, help the people there to evacuate their houses because, you know, the most of them are just left on top of their roofs with no help on how to evacuate their houses. And there were, you know, government agencies such as, you know, there were firefighters there, there were the militaries were there, but they mentioned that they couldn't do anything because there was no direct order, you know, from the higher ups. And I think that is something that is very serious because at times like that, if there is no quick response, how are you going to ensure that the people's safety is going to put first? And I think that is one of the things that is most glaring to us when, you know, during the rescue mission. And even after the rescue mission, once the flood has subsided and we go to several places, we realize that there are a lot of places where they don't receive the help that were needed. Several PPS didn't receive enough mattresses, enough blankets. They don't receive enough food aid. And I think these are all the things, glaring things that government should look at and, you know, improve in the future.
Right. I mean, we all hope that government improves in the future. It's not a guarantee, though, is it, Amira? I do want to ask you, though, while, you know, efforts by Muda and, you know, civil society groups are very necessary and actually perhaps very reassuring for the victims, what we expect from government is a 360 view of disasters. And this will include things like, you know, recovering of dead bodies, recovery of dead animals, all of which may contribute, say, for instance, to disease post-flooding incident like this. So when you look at this, I mean, you must have done some of a needs assessment, right, in order to prioritize your response. When you compare that to what government agencies are doing, what do you think of the gaps? Where is government or state agencies? What are they missing?
I think one of the very glaring thing in which the government is missing is in terms of coordination between all the agencies. There is NADMA, but we couldn't see any form of, you know, a centralized command center in order to ensure that all parts of the flood is covered. When it comes to, you know, mitigation of disaster, it's important for the government to obviously firstly to ensure that there's prevention in the first place, and then there's preparedness. We don't see any form of preparedness from NADMA. And then thirdly is on the response. And on this response is where it's very glaring that you don't see a top-down approach. There's no clear line of instruction from a command center itself. And in terms of recovery as well, when we speak to several places, some of them, you know, some of the JKM, they acted without any order, just because they felt that it's important for them to act immediately. And this was also being said by the military in the recent news, where they acted without direct order. I think one of the things that is very important for the government to have, the gap that they have to close, is in terms of having a command center and having a clear a clear image on who is exactly heading that command center. Because what's happening right now is that the head of NAGMA is saying that, the minister is heading this, and then the minister is saying that NAGMA is supposed to head this. We don't see a focal point as to who's exactly leading this disaster mitigation effort, right? We don't see any.
And has that translated to sentiment on the ground? I know, because you guys work on the ground, you're talking to people. I'm just wondering what the feedback is coming back to you. I mean, are victims of the flooding angry, or do they blame someone? Do they understand the power structures of the bureaucracy of federal and state and different agencies? Or has there more of a resigned attitude that this is a natural disaster, that this is perhaps a test, for their patience or for their fortitude?
So the response from the people vary as well in terms of the places where, flood is sort of normal to them, and also the places where they've never experienced flood before. For example, like, Taman Sri Muda, for example, like a town in Indramakota, where they've never experienced such flood before. And they were furious. They were wondering, as in terms of which party, whether it's the government, whether it's the agencies, who are supposed to be in charge of this, who are supposed to be responsible for it. When we went down to help them out, they were asking us, if they wanted to, some of them were even asking whether or not they can take action because they were so angry, and because, there were also people out there saying that, we just have to accept that disasters happen. And, obviously these people have lost their houses, have lost their belongings, and they can't just, accept that fact. And they wanted someone to be responsible for it. And that is when I think it's very important for the government to ensure that there's a fixed minister. In fact, the prime minister has to have a frequent press conference to address the people and, to ease the people of their worry. If you have a command center, let them know that there's a command center. If you have something to offer to them, for the recovery, you have to let them know that these are the things that you have. But we don't see that. And that's the thing that people are most furious about. They don't see, any effort from the government in terms of the recovery process as well. And, prevention this is to happen again.
Right, Amira, politicians love giving gifts and handing out, cash aid or aid in other kinds, because, of course, it's not their money primarily. But I do want to ask you, is there any good in building systems? It seems to be a Malaysian problem that, giving handouts is probably the default mode for most political leaders. And I ask you, as somebody who is part of a new party that wants to change the political culture in Malaysia, how do we get politicians to build resilient systems rather than engage in this handout culture that ties them to, to systems of patronage and therefore make people dependent? How do we get a modern system of governance going in Malaysia?
I think number one, handouts can be something that, sort of like a candies to politicians, like an easy way out. But at the same time, I do believe that in terms of recovery, certain help has to be given for them to, restart their life all over again. But on top of that, in terms of policy, in terms of ensuring that there's better preparedness, and in terms of ensuring that these things don't happen again, one of the things that we are severely lacking of is in terms of holding the government accountable for whatever losses that have happened, right? Holding the people who have caused this accountable. And I think several things that is very much needed. Number one is in terms of transparency. People have to start to demand from the government to be transparent on, the expenditure of, how to mitigate the flood. I read somewhere that every year, the government spent about 17 billion ringgit in flood mitigation, flood mitigation efforts. Now, where does this 17 billion ringgit go? People have the right to know that, and government has to be transparent about that. And I think there's a huge benefit in people holding government accountable when it comes to things like this, taking them to court for them to answer about this. And most importantly is to demand about better enforcement, right? For example, people have been talking about deforestation. I think most importantly than, illegal deforestation or legal deforestation is because there's an uncontrolled deforestation that people has to demand, if you have an expert advising you, why aren't you following this expert's advice? Why are you, even have deforestation in forest reserve area? Why do you change water retention pond into housing development? People have to demand for this and hold the government accountable when they go against the expert's advice.
Amira, thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Amira Aisha Abdulaziz from Parti Muda there. And that wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.
Good night.